by Gerrard. Oh, yes. Here's Rooney. Oh, my goodness me. That is one of the strikes of the season. Absolutely brilliant. Fantastic.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of FPL 360. Lately, Chuck has been doing the leadoff, but I kind of wanted to steal the thunder this week by saying I am getting so much enjoyment out of watching the highlights of Kepa arguing with Sarri in the Carabao Cup final to the point where I think I might need to block YouTube on my computer.
Honestly, I can't blame you on that, considering that there are few things more fun to watch than a Chelsea Football Club fall into shambles.
So I didn't watch the match live. So what I did was I saw the Kepa argument, then I watched penalties, and then I watched some of the match highlights. And from the standpoint of someone who attempted to play a high level of soccer and obviously did not, I do understand Kepa's point where he instantly cements himself as a legend for Chelsea, arguing with Sarri staying on. And if they win that, if they win penalties, and let's say he makes those saves and Jorginho and Luis score, like he goes down as he would have gone down as an icon for Chelsea. Obviously, it backfired. But I don't know. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I haven't. And like, there's been some really weird stuff to happen, but if your manager says you're coming off, you're coming off. And technically, he should have been red carded for that.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work, but I do know for a fact that whatever convenience store Sarri went to after the match probably made a shit ton of money on cigarettes.
Oh, yeah. He definitely had a couple of packs after that. It's going to be really interesting to see how they smooth this over, or if Kepa is immediately benched for Big Willie in that.
I have a feeling Caballero will probably be in goal, and I guess we'll start there when they play Spurs on Wednesday. I don't think Caballero is that good this summer during the World Cup. I actually wrote a pretty bit, like, a pretty short but pretty big attack on him as a goalkeeper for Argentina. I could see Spurs scoring like 3 or 4 goals against Chelsea because I just don't think he's good.
The last time Caballero was in goal against Spurs, I remember Christian Eriksen scoring from almost midfield because he couldn't get his hands over his head.
I have Son. I did not move to bring Kane back in now that he's fit. But if you haven't made your transfers yet for OFPL and you wanted to bring in a Spurs player, would you say Kane is number one? Or, because I'm guessing most people probably own Son, Kane or Eriksen this week?
Honestly, I'd probably say for this week that I'd put Eriksen over Kane.
Yeah, I know Eriksen has had a pretty good run against Chelsea lately. And if I'm not mistaken, his first match back to full fitness a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago this season, he had like 6 or 7 key passes against them.
Yeah, and like, I'd rather have the person setting up all the goals and potentially scoring a couple themselves against Chelsea than Kane, because he could easily be left out on an island and only get one goal.
Yeah, since that is one of the matches for this week's Premier League Pick'ems on the app, what are you going for in scoreline?
I believe that I went 2-1 Spurs in this one, but I have absolutely no idea what will happen due to the fact that Spurs literally just lost to Burnley and Chelsea just got made a mockery of in the Carabao Cup final.
Yeah, I actually just submitted my picks and I also went with 2-1. I don't want to talk about that Burnley match yet, just because it's on Tuesday and we started with Wednesday. So hopping around a little bit, Crystal Palace playing Manchester United. Injuries are massive here. Rashford, Herrera, Lingard are in doubt to the point where I don't think any of them will play. My take on this is we see Lukaku and Martial up front with Sanchez in behind.
Martial's healthy enough?
More so than the rest of them. I mean, looking at the injury
also,
report.
Can we talk about the lineup against Liverpool and the 4-4-2 diamond that I discussed on the pod last week?
Yeah, you were right on that. It was very difficult watching this match for me, A, because I was at work, but B, it was every time I looked up or looked away from the TV, somebody got hurt. So I was happy with the scoreless draw because I was very worried for that second half.
I just like to take a second to talk about Lukaku's passing in that match, because on a better day, he gets 3 assists.
This is something that I talked about a couple times with friend of the podcast, Tyler Dunn, on his show. Lukaku, for all the heat that he gets, he has the ability to create for others, which is so underrated in a forward that's big and doesn't really do some of the other stuff that you would like.
He's a lumbering Firmino.
Yeah. But I do agree with that. I thought he was really good. And I guess I'm going with Martial probably to start up front, just because just looking at the health of United right now, he might not be fully fit, but he's probably fitter than the other options since you don't have Fellaini anymore, so you can't play him up front.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a day where you're not really too worried about United steamrolling Crystal Palace, which is why I was fine making my transfer in of Wilfred Zaha this week.
Yeah, I guess the thing here for me, it's I guess it's not so much in OFPL, because I think Pogba will be fine. I'm assuming he'll somehow get a return. But if you play in a deeper Fantrax league, and let's say you need a midfielder, does McTominay or Andres Pereira, do either of them get your attention?
I think you're hoping Pereira comes into the midfield, because McTominay doesn't have too much to offer in a Fantrax league.
Yeah, I mean, he essentially is like you're hoping maybe he gets a shot and then maybe he makes a couple tackles. You're not going to get like key passes or anything like that. Yeah, so before we get onto a ramble about where to find value in the potentially sewn together United midfield, we'll talk about something I think is pretty concrete, and that's looking at Arsenal's forwards in Lacazette and Aubameyang against Eddie Howe's Bournemouth, who are very, very bad away. I know you love Laka. Will you be captaining him this week in OFPL?
I will not, and I don't want to tip my captain yet, because we're going to be talking about him, obviously. But I am very happy to be a Lacazette owner, saving a couple dollars over being an Aubameyang owner right now.
From what I believe it was Scoutcast I was listening to this morning, they were all over Aubameyang just because he's going to be fresh. And obviously that is a big boost against a defense that's very bad away. I do not have either of them because I just opted to save a little bit so I can bring in Kane down the line. But I do think both of those guys are viable captain's options. The other guy we should probably talk about is Alex Iwobi. So he's up to 64% owned in Fantrax. He's coming off a match where obviously he didn't get on the score sheet, but he did produce 16.5 points. What's your stance on him at the moment? Like, is he someone that, obviously he's a free agent, you'd look to add him, but is he someone you would think about trading for?
I'm not sure if I'm ready to trade for Iwobi yet, because outside of this past game, normally if he doesn't score or assist, he's hovering around 4.5 points. Yeah. But he should definitely be owned in almost every 10 to 12 team league.
Yeah, I agree there. I think 64% is definitely too low. He should be probably around where Ramsey is, who's at like 78% right now. And this will probably be another week where Bournemouth are without Brooks and Callum Wilson. Do you give them any chance against Arsenal?
I mean, every team always has a chance against Arsenal just because they've been so inconsistent. The interesting thing, though, is somehow Arsenal's been borderline dominant at home this year.
Yeah. I think I went... What did you go with in the Premier League predictor?
I went with the old favorite of 2-1.
Yeah, I went 3-1. And I totally forgot to mention this. We forgot to mention this last week, but Solanke looks like he probably will get another start. Last week he had 11 points.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's basically startable at forward in most Fantrax leagues, even though he has yet to bag a goal for Bournemouth yet.
Yeah, he had 11 points against Wolves. And he had 7 in his other start.
We match predictions. I went 3-1 in this.
Oh, you did? Okay. Oh, so we're 2-for-2 on match predictions right now. Yeah, I think Solanke is, I mean, right there. If you're looking for a forward and you're desperate, I think he's fine. I wouldn't expect too much, but, I mean, then again, this could definitely be a game where Bournemouth nicks a goal. I don't really give him a chance at taking all 3 points. But as we know, Arsenal are prone for a blunder.
Also,
at the back,
I'd like to say shouts to Football Manager legend Chris Meepham for getting his Bournemouth debut last week.
Yeah, I did not expect that to come this soon, but
I didn't expect it to happen this year.
Yeah, but with the injury to Steve Cook, I believe I'm correct in saying Cook. Yeah, it was Cook. You know, he got a start. I know Cook is listed for a late fitness test this week, so Memphis could potentially be in the 11 again.
Also, we can't really discuss this game and get away with not mentioning the fact that Mkhitaryan had a goal and an assist last week.
So I was just going to skip him because I don't know what to make of him at this point.
So we can't skip around the fact that he still contributed to both goals last week.
Yeah, I honestly don't know, look, if you have him still and he starts, you're gonna want to start him. I mean, I don't think anybody, I would ideally you'd want to trade him right now, but I don't think anybody would take the bait on that.
Yeah, it's really interesting, though, because you can take that match as it's just Southampton, and Southampton's defense is crap, but that also makes him worth a flyer in this game because Bournemouth's defense right now is probably about similar levels to Southampton.
Yeah, no, I do agree there, but it's just so odd, the Mkhitaryan situation.
I'm going to be salty as hell if Mkhitaryan becomes an option down the stretch after I had him for so much of this goddamn year.
Well, it would be kind of nice if he ends up having a really good season and a really good finish to the season, because I think when we did our fan tracks beginning of the season rankings, we had him as like a top 15 midfielder.
We did.
Yeah, he has some serious ground to cover.
And that's enough for talking about Mkhitaryan for the rest of the month.
Liverpool-Watford. So obviously Watford are coming off a dismantling of Cardiff City. I think they're probably due for a letdown against Liverpool. But it looks like Bobby's going to be out for the Reds.
Oof.
Do you think Watford has any chance of carrying the momentum and stealing a point?
I mean, given Watford's results this season, they have a shot at a point in almost every game they go into. I don't know if they'll necessarily beat Liverpool, but they're going to give them a lot of trouble because this is a Liverpool team that recently has just not known how to find the back of the net.
Yeah, and chances are Salah will be playing in the middle up front.
It's
where does he place for your captain picks this week?
Not even on my radar.
Not at all.
So Liverpool has only scored multiple goals against Bournemouth and Crystal Palace since like their FA Cup defeat to, actually since earlier than their FA Cup defeat to Wolves, since the new year.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, they've only scored multiple goals in two games.
Yeah, this match is going to be interesting because I'm guessing that Watford, like, this is just the match perfectly set up for Watford to lose like 5-0.
Well, the funny thing is actually the formation that Watford played against Cardiff, because it wasn't a 4-4-2. It was a 4-2-2-2 to just literally run the ball down Cardiff's throats. And like, while I don't think they're going to employ that same formation against Liverpool, because you'd be pretty stupid to do that, just those little tactical tweaks, because of the fact that they play four central midfielders in their first choice 11, make them really hard to break down.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see it. I did find that kind of formation funny against Cardiff because I think Warnock was just absolutely perplexed by what they were doing.
Warnock's perplexed by anyone that throws any shred of tactics into a game.
Yeah, let's go to that match. Cardiff hosting Everton. I am all in on Everton in this match. And I know last week we talked about how Cardiff were going to get whacked and then have a response against the Toffees. But after seeing De La Feu and Troy Deeney just absolutely pick apart Cardiff, I don't see how this wouldn't be a big game for Sigurdsson and Richarlison.
Because Colin Patterson may return up front.
If Patterson isn't up front and it's Zahor with Nias out, where would you place him in the streaming conversation for Fantrax?
Firmly in it, because Everton concedes goals like it's their job.
I do like, as always, Lucas Digne this week. This could be a double digit for him with an assist. Probably going to have to get two assists or a goal.
Yeah, because the funny thing is, so, I mean, I'm still not changing my pick of a 2-1 Cardiff victory here, just because Cardiff wins don't make any sense. And this is a perfect one to not make any sense, combined with Everton being just enough of a shit show to allow it to happen.
Yeah, I am debating between starting, like, the way that my OFPL lineup sits out right now, like, I'm pretty confident in Everton here, but that would probably require me to have to play my bench boost this week in order to get potential points from those two, because right now I'm rolling with Doherty, Robertson, Klasenac, and Perea in defense. And in midfield, I like Ward-Prowse's chances at home against Fulham. So I'm in a little bit of a pickle. I mean, would you think it would be insane for me to play my bench boost?
I wouldn't really recommend it. I'm currently just rolling with Digne in this game and benching Camarasa. The big thing that I had to do with my bench this week is I actually have Kolasinac on the bench because I prefer Target at home versus Fulham to Kolasinac against Bournemouth?
Yeah, I wasn't really psyched about the potential of the bench boost, but having had a couple red arrows in the last few weeks after not having any of them in for a while and dropping back to 34K after getting up to 16K, I'm at the point where I might need to go unconventional again to start regaining that ground.
Oh, congratulations, because I gained 100K places and I'm still at 1.3 million.
One of the moves I made this week, hopefully to get back up there, was bringing in Raul Jimenez, and I feel like this could be a massive day for them with Wolves playing Huddersfield, who at this point can't stop anyone.
And we get to my captaincy choice for this week.
Jimenez?
Yep.
I do like it. Right now he's my vice captain, but I do like that idea.
Yeah, he's my captain and Lacazette is my vice.
Yeah, Doherty this week too also. I'm expecting this is going to be a big win for Wolves. I wish that was in the predictor picks, but they probably were smart about not including it.
Yeah, they've been actually pretty good at picking some like other harder games for the predictor.
Yeah, one of those is Leicester-Brighton. And
managerless Leicester.
Yeah, I say that because Leicester don't have a manager right now. So I still think Leicester are going to win. I went with 3-0, which is probably a little bit ambitious.
Yeah. Well, so now we differ because I went 2-1 Brighton. I think, number one, Brighton needs this win a lot more than Leicester needs this win, as Brighton is precariously close to the relegation zone right now.
Yeah, this is a massive game for them to pick up ground and kind of capitalize on the confusion of who's going to be the next boss for the Foxes.
Also, I think this is going to be a field day for someone who I thought about transferring in, but since I couldn't make two transfers on players that don't play in game week 31, I couldn't justify doing it, and that's Pascal Gross.
Yeah, Gross has kind of just disappeared off of most people's radar. He is due for a big game, though. I would not be against bringing him in if you were looking for a differential in midfield, though. The thing that's always weird with Brighton, though, is I feel like it's Murray or no one at this point, since like Gross is kind of expensive at 6.7. I mean, at 1.7 for his selected percentage, that's fine for differential, but I mean, we don't even know if Murray's going to play.
For what he can offer, I don't think 6.7 is truly expensive for Gross. It's just the fact that his numbers are down due to the fact that he spent most of the season recovering from an injury, because I believe he started the season at 6.9, which, yeah, off the back of last season, is probably pretty fair.
He actually started at 7.
Yeah, he just didn't end up having the massive outbound transfers that happened to Jota when he started the season overpriced.
Yeah. Look, I mean, Gross in his last four, I mean, he had a goal against United, assist against Fulham, they got the clean sheet against Watford, so his stuff has been up lately. I just think that this is a point for Leicester where, like, everybody's going to, I mean, they always want to play well and you always want to win, but with the uncertainty about the next manager coming in, this is a game where, like, for example, a guy like Harvey Barnes could just really solidify a starting spot if he plays well for wherever takes over.
Yeah, but if I just don't think that Leicester is going to have it in them to win this game, honestly. And this is where I want to go into my Puel didn't necessarily deserve to be fired feel, but he's just a product of the fact that Leicester won the title and their expectations for what that club can do now are far too high.
Yeah, I know we had a discussion about that a few episodes ago. I'm not going to go down that path because I just don't have the energy to do that right now. But I do think their expectations are skewed. And it's interesting looking at who's getting pinned for potentially replacing him. The favorite right now, from when I looked, is Brendan Rodgers. What are your thoughts on him potentially taking
over? I mean, I want Brendan Rodgers back in the Premier League. I think that out of the names currently circulated here and the odds, Brendan Rodgers should be the favorite, and he's probably the only person on that list that can take Leicester where they want to be. And that's because I don't believe that Rafa Benitez is even an attainable name for them.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Newcastle kind of coming around lately. If they'd still been struggling, or
if he didn't get Almiron.
Almiron, yeah. I mean, I honestly think David Wagner would be fine, but that would just be so... he would get trashed so much by their fans.
I love Wagner, but he still hasn't done enough to show me that he's a Champions League coach.
I mean, the thing more so is that the style that he wants to play would fit with the current Leicester team.
Yeah, but Rodgers could just counter the shit out of you with them.
No, I mean, look, I think Rodgers is probably a better fit overall. I just do think there would be potential for Wagner to succeed.
That's fair.
Plus, he would have an actual budget to sign players, which is something he did not have at Huddersfield.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It's going to be very interesting to see what they do, because basically, you're kind of taking over a cursed job at this point, as Leicester has gone through 4 managers now in 2 years. Like, if they don't get it together, they're going to turn into Swansea.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Next episode, we can kind of revisit how they played. And by then, we'll probably have a little bit more rumors on the next potential manager. So I guess we'll push some of that conversation the next episode.
Plenty of it, so.
Yeah. Yeah, the last match we're going to talk about before we wrap up today's episode, Newcastle-Burnley, because I'm very excited for this one. I've gone with a 2-2 draw, and I finally, after thinking about it for 3 weeks, brought in Ashley Barnes.
So I went with a 2-0 Newcastle win.
Oh, boo. There's going to be goals for both teams.
Will there? Newcastle's,
I think so.
Newcastle's 3 center backs have been dominating games.
They have. Also, I know you mentioned it before, so I wanted to get to this. Why are you so excited about starting to look to get a bunch of Newcastle players?
So, number one, there's the fact that even when Newcastle was losing games, they were never getting steamrolled, even versus top teams, because of who they have in charge. So the fact that Newcastle has an actual Premier League team together now means that they could actually perform with Premier League teams, and that defense has been rock solid.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I guess Burnley, West Ham, Everton, Bournemouth, their next 4. That's not a bad run. And the players are available in Fantrax. The guy who comes to mind for me is Sean Lagstaff. But the guy who's been performing the best right now is Isaac Hayden.
It's Longstaff, but
Isaac Hayden has, looking at Isaac Hayden, right? 24 points, 22, 4.5, 10.5, 22. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, as of right now, I can't say to not invest in Newcastle. I'm probably going to find a way to have triple Newcastle in FPL by game week 31 because they're one of six teams that actually plays a game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to make of Isaac Hayden at all. But you are right about with the blanks coming up. I just have a hard time when I think of Newcastle, I'm just so negative.
Well, that's why we're just going to end this discussion with me doing a giant mic drop on Miguel Almiron and the fact that he realistically should have had a goal and three assists in that game, but hit the post and had some shoddy finishing in front of him. But he's coming from MLS, looks like the real deal for the Premier League.
Look, I'm happy that Almiron had a good debut. Granted, it was against Huddersfield, so we do need to skew it a little bit. I do think he's going to be fine, but it was nice to see him play well, and I don't know, you never know. I mean, where do you think Newcastle are going to finish this season with him if he plays somewhat like he played in his debut?
Oh, that's an interesting question, actually, because Newcastle has now risen to 15th. Honestly, they're, like, Newcastle could finish in the top 10.
Yeah, I don't think that high, but I'd say probably
they could definitely pass Everton. The question is just, does Bournemouth stay hurt enough that they drop out?
Before we finish this week, actually, there's one match that, two matches we didn't talk about, Fulham-Southampton. Southampton, a couple goals, right?
I mean, I like Southampton's attackers. I like Ryan Babel. Outside of that, I've got crickets coming from Fulham. Hopefully, Sess gets another start.
Yeah, I'll do my weekly JWP shout. That's all I really have there. But for Man City West Ham, because that is the other match in the predictor, I've gone 4-1 for City.
I went 3-1 for City.
Look, Aguero captain's fine. I don't own him right now. I don't have enough bank to get him in.
I mean, as of right now, I have no City assets. But if I wanted one, it would be Bernardo Silva.
Yeah, I mean, look, price is right and performance is there. Fortunately, I'm a little bit short on time tonight, so I have to run. But what's the match you're looking forward to this from the midweek slate?
Honestly, the match that I'm looking forward to is watching Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for that one too, and I think there will be goals. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at FPL_360. And where can you download our podcast, Chuck?
You can download our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher.
We'll be back with a take on this weekend matches after another round of Midweek Madness.